And we would like to welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Our flowers this morning are provided by Buck and Karen Rogers in honor of Marissa's birthday, which will be on the 24th. And our radio is sponsored by DHES in honor of David's birthday. We have just one radio announcement for this morning, and that is that our spring craft and vendor show is coming soon. Saturday, April 30th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., we will open our basement for those that love craft shows. We cannot wait to see you all there at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. If you are blessed by our radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may also be sent to 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning we will be having a scripture reading of Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 to 23, as well as Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, followed by our sermon entitled The Virtue of Forbearance by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
And now we have a special treat, The Lord of the Dance by Trinity's Choir.
When the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and I danced on earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me and the dance went on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath when I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high. And they led me there on the cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday and the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that will never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Amen. And as Cassie makes her way up here to read the scriptures, I'm going to go ahead and give you the topic of the sermon. Patience is a virtue. Virtue is grace. Put them both together and you'll have a pretty face. That's what my nonna used to say to me always. And it took me a good while to realize how much forbearance does change our countenance, our face, and our spirit.
Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. If man is to live with any joy and any fullness in this world, there are three virtues that he must steadily pursue. The first is faith. Faith in God, for without faith's existence, all of life becomes a tangled skein and is a mess, one which bears only disappointment and heartache. The second is courage, for every life has its hills and its valleys, and if we ascend the hills, but poorly, if our heart is faint. And the third is forbearance. Forbearance being patience, self-control, tolerance, and self-restraint. Forbearing one another. Loving Christ enough. Loving one another enough to accept each other with all of our foibles. Warts and all, my nonna would say. I'll never forget her telling me as a kid, Angie, patience is a virtue, and I had no idea what that meant. Virtue is a grace, and if you put them both together, you'll have a pretty face. I did not understand that until I was in my early 20s or 30s, when I did begin to become aware of people who were very self-critical and very critical of others, very judgmental of others. They did not have any tolerance for other people. Their face usually didn't look so pretty. It is on forbearance that I speak this day. First, I shall touch on the evils of an unforbearing spirit. And second, I shall indicate the character of true forbearance. And then, I shall suggest some thoughts that will make all of us a bit more forbearing with one another. First, the evils of the unforbearing spirit. Then some of the evils of the unforbearing spirit. One of them stopped me dead in my tracks. When I became aware that the unforbearing spirit is filled with constant disappointment, I have often wondered that there is no trace, not one single trace of disappointment in our Lord Jesus Christ. You may call him a despised man, if you will, but you can never call him a man who was disappointed. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, says John 1:11. They laughed at him, they scorned him, they humiliated him, and then they crucified him. And yet, when he made his way to glory and looked upon his Father's face, he didn't say, "Oh, that was such a disappointment, wasn't it?" No. He gladly bore what he bore for our sake. For all its sorrows, life was not a disappointment to Christ. It was full and it was fresh every day, even up to the end. If we remember, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He understood that what was happening was misunderstanding on their part. On some, the Pharisees, the legalist part, There was a little bit more, but yet he forgave them as well. One of the sources of unfailing freshness was our Savior's secret knowledge of forbearance. Jesus expected great things of humanity. Jesus never expected impossible. I like to think that he who made the heavens and the earth, when the times were right, when that hour came, was willing to make allowances of you and I. Depend upon that we expect the impossible, and then we would be doomed to a life of disappointment that is worse than death. We know that there are things that are seemingly impossible in our own strength, but possible in God's strength. But if we continually expect riches and glory and fame in our own, if we continually expect things that are not possible in our own strength and are not of God's will, we will have a life of disappointment. Just like a child who thinks that everything should be ice cream and soda, they will have a life of disappointment. There is only one highway to the world's true comradeship, and that is the road of forbearing one another, learning to tolerate one another, learning to accept one another's graces and one another's not so lovely attributes, all as one. Another evil of the unforbearing spirit is this, that it presses hardest on the life's most tender relationships. It becomes powerful for evil. And in that very region where ties are most delicate and life most sweet, in other words, our closest relationships, the ones that bear the most fruit, the ones that are the most pleasurable for us, are the ones that often become the most crushed. I remember in recovery hearing all the time that we have the most difficulty functioning at home. Because we can step outside and we can put on a pretty face. And we can be who others think we are to be. But when we come home and everything is falling apart and we're greeted at the door with bad grades, bills being too high, and things being just a little too overwhelming, our true character tends to show. And it is with those that we love the very most that we should have the most forbearance, the most tolerance. Another evil of the unforbearing spirit is that as it presses against these tender relationships, it tends to gnaw and eat away at our own heart. There are some worms that gnaw at green leaves, and they spend their lives on the branches of the tree. But there are others that are never satisfied with the leaves. They tend to go straight for the heart of the fruit or for the heart of the rose. The beautiful red rose, that is the curse of the forbearing spirit, that it gnaws at the very heart of the rose of life, and that it is comparatively easy to be forbearing with those whom we rarely meet and those whom we hardly know. It's easy to put on a happy face and to be polite and to be sociable with those that we hardly know. But do we overlook our wife, our husband, our children, our parents? Do we understand that they've had a hard day? Do we tolerate their character traits as well as they tolerate ours? There are ministers who can speak well of every congregation except the one that they have been called to serve. And there are husbands who are gentle to everybody's faults except for the faults of their own wives. It is hardest for us to practice patience, tolerance, love, and acceptance in the places closest to us. And those are the ones that we need to pray and ask our Lord Jesus Christ to fill our spirits with. Oh. excuse me, I'm sorry. And it is just because unforbearance has a greater scope in proportion to life's ties that it grows more tender and dear, and that the gospel of love insists so urgently on the duty of forbearing one another. But there is another evil of the unforbearing temper, and that is within the man himself. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again. Matthew 7:2. If we are intolerant, we become intolerable. If we never make allowances for anybody, God knows the scant allowances that we will get. Just think of the Pharisees for a moment. Their crowning vice was that of being unforbearing. There was not a little that was good in many Pharisees, but they were harsh and exacting. Need I remind you that it was only the Pharisees that our Lord came down hard upon? There is no other group of people but the ones who were so harsh and judgmental and leading the other people to be so disgraceful. Any other body of people, any other people, sinners, prostitutes, adulterers, he was accepting, loving, and forgiving. He didn't accept the sin. He accepted the person. Let us suffice the evils of forbearance. It makes one's life constant disappointment, and it presses hardest on the life of the most tender ties. It reacts inevitably on man himself. The character of true forbearance. In the second place, I wish to indicate the character of true forbearance, and it's urgently important that we should pay heed to this. For the devil has gotten his counterfeit of every grace, and a counterfeit grace is sometimes worse than a sin. The first thing that I would say about it is that true forbearance begins in a man's thoughts. It is a good thing to be forbearing in our acts, and a great thing to be forbearing in our speech. Yet I question if we have begun to practice rightly this Christian virtue until we habitually are forbearing in our own thoughts. Master, said the disciples, shall we call down fire on these villages? They would not receive us. Shall we clear them away like Sodom? Luke 9:54. And it was not quite for their words that Christ rebuked them. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, what manner of spirit lies within you that causes you to say these things. Ah, if our bitter and unforbearing words flashed into utterance without any thought, they would not wound so, nor would they leave their scars, that these unkindnesses cannot be erased within weeks of time. It is because they so often betray the unforbearing thoughts that have been harbored in secret and cherished in the dark that the bite of them is like a serpent's tooth. We talk of hasty words, but a hasty word might mean little if we were only a flash of a hasty thought. What a hasty word often implies is this: that there is a secret that has been harbored away in our hearts that is causing destruction. And when it comes out of our mouth, we are surprised, and others around us are surprised. But if we harbor these thoughts in our hearts, they are bound to come out of our mouth. Our tongue will show our true thoughts. Again, true forbearance is independent of our mood. It does not matter what mood we are in. It does not vary with our temper. It is a mock forbearance that comes and goes with the variation every day. In other words, if we allow things to bother us at one point in time, that's not true forbearance. True forbearance, no matter how difficult our life is at that very moment, allows for others, and we are patient and kind and tolerant with them. When we are in good humor with ourselves, we can be in good humor with everyone. But true forbearance is not just a passing fancy, nor is it the child of a happy mood or an even temper. It does not depend on the state of a man's health or whether he has good at business. There is another mark on which I would insist, and it is this, that true forbearance helps us to better things. It is like the sunshine which brings summer nearer, and it is a part of that gentleness that makes men great. There are certain lenient indulgences that apply to this great virtue. There is a soft and easy way of smiling at all that would send a man to the devil in double speed. In other words, we do not allow such leniency when it comes to sin, but we aren't harshly judging. We point it out. We say something about it. We say something in love. We pray with the person and we help walk them through. Thoughts that make us more forbearing. Then lastly, let me suggest some thoughts that would help us to be more forbearing. First, think how little we know of one another. We know far too little, and we tend to be far too harsh. One secret of the perfect gentleness of Christ is his perfect knowledge of every human being. Every human being that he met, he knew what was happening inside of them. I suppose that most of us have known some man at some point in time that when we later hear his story, we say, ah, no wonder he responds the way he does. When we hear how he was raised, when we hear of the disaster that befell him, when we hear of the unkindness that he has been treated with, we begin to understand him just a little bit better. There may have been something in that upbringing that would explain a score of things to us if only we had known. Because of life's complexity, because we cannot see and because we do not know, because only God can tell the million threads that are woven together in a tapestry of our very being, our very dearest our very dearest are such strangers to us that it is always wisest to forbear. Next, think how greatly we ourselves need forbearance. I'm thinking that right now. Even if we do not give it, all of us want it. I suppose we all irritate and alienate other people 1,000 times over, more and more than we could ever dream of. If other people are doing it to us, then we can be sure that we are doing it to them. Never a morning breaks, but that a man knows he will make demands upon the forbearance of the world. Lastly, think how God has forborne us. The forbearance of God is a perpetual wonder, is it not? He has been willing that men should taunt him with being idle. He has been willing that men should say he did not care. Rather than he should seem an unforbearing God, there is no secret passage in your life which has been shouted abroad would quite have ruined you. God, in his mercy, has never blown a trumpet blast. And his long-suffering, his patience, his forbearance, his tolerance, and his mercy has been your salvation. Then we are such poor scholars in his school. We are so backward and so soon turned aside. We made so little progress in his teaching and are so keen about everything save him. Shall we not copy his forbearance, and shall we not give others tolerance? Tolerance be our code. Patience be the grace for which we treat one another. Let us show one another love, and most certainly the world is watching. And our love by forbearing with one another proves that we are Christians.